Areena.
You're good?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, composer, guitar player, guitar virtuoso, Steve Vai, glad you have this opportunity.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Really nice to be here.
Yeah, and you've been here also last year.
You recorded
your orchestral pieces with Tampere Philharmonic and these musicians that you're doing their concert tonight with.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that you are in a place where you can pretty much pick the musicians you collaborate with. So could you elaborate why did you choose these particular musicians to work with?
Well, it kind of goes back to 2005 when I started. I've been composing my whole life, although I'm mostly known as a rock guitar player. I've always loved the compositional process, and it's very difficult to get your music performed by orchestras, even when you're not a rock guitar player, you know? But in 2005, my friend Ko de Kloot took the initiative to produce some shows with the Metropole Orchestra of my music, and that turned out really great. And I released a record called Sound Theories, and after that, it was like the floodgates opened up. I was getting offers to perform with orchestras all around the world, and I did. I was very lucky to be able to perform with orchestras in Romania and Italy and Russia and America and Holland, and it was great. But then at one point, I felt I wanted to record all of the compositions that I had. And because the Sound Theories, Volume 1 and 2, was a good handful of them. But then I wanted to, and recording an orchestra is a big project, you know? And there's certain kinds of music that I compose that's more, is suited for an orchestra, smaller ones, so like 55 piece. And we spent 3 weeks in Holland with the Metropole Orchestra recording that material. But then there's these big kind of symphonic pieces that I'd written. And before we started the recording project, I created a little coalition with Jukka Isikila and Ko de Kloot. And the three of us kind of schemed, you know, how are we going to get this music recorded? And that was years ago. And we finally, because it takes years to put something like that on. So Jukka, the maestro, was part of our team, and he really understood my music. I mean, he's a fan of the rock music, and he's an excellent composer himself and maestro conductor, and he throws some nice shapes on the guitar too. So we planned to do these recordings, but that's when lockdown happened, and we kept having to move things around until finally, in May of 22, I was able to record with I think it was May. When was that, Jerome? Yeah, May of 22 with the Metropole, right? And, but as I mentioned, the big symphonic pieces, I needed a symphony. And Jukka, being Finnish, introduced me to this orchestra. And I had to make sure, you know, because I, like you said, I had options. But this orchestra, after listening to some recordings, and I felt this would be a fantastic opportunity for me, because it's quite a great orchestra. You know, they're real, you know, symphonies breathe very differently than smaller contemporary orchestras, you know. So this material was put together for that, and we did the recordings. And, you know, when you record, and that was a year ago. And when you're recording, you're always going, hey, we should do a concert. You know, we got to work out a concert. So we planned this concert, and that's what we're doing.
I think I read somewhere that you complimented the Tampere Philharmonic to be to consist of musicians who can understand what they're playing very well. So how important and why is it important for you to really hear the musicians understand your compositions?
Well, like my guitar playing, that's not necessarily conventional. You know, I'm not a conventional, authentic blues player or classical player or jazz or fusion or even rock, you know. My guitar playing just kind of evolved into sort of, it's a little abstract at times. So my compositional interests are like that also. I have composers that I love, that I listen to through the years. But like listening to other guitar players, I never really, I mean, I learned and was inspired, but I always felt that the process of composing is very personal, you know, and you can be very intimate with it. And you need people that are performing it that understand the intimacies, you know. And they were, we've been working with them, so they were aware of the kind of music, the abstract kind of thing that I do, because it's not very common to have an electric guitar with an orchestra, and some of the pieces have drums and electric bass and electric keyboards. So this orchestra was very good at adapting to that, and they're just so talented. You know, some of the music is extraordinarily complex, and whenever I go to perform it with an orchestra, there's one or two pieces that I have that I'm just like, oh, here we go, you know. But I listen to them with this orchestra, and they just came to life. They it blossoms, you know. So I'm so happy that they were interested in doing it.
Obviously, you are one of the all-time greats in rock guitar, and you have worked with the biggest names in the field of progressive and fusion music, and also rock music, mainstream rock music, mm-hmm. You know, David Lee Roth, Frank Zappa. How is the transition coming to the world of classical music? Is there any gap or even leap in culture? How is the reception even to, you know, a guitarist like you when you entered the classical?
Well, it's a tremendous leap. I mean, in one show, you're running around on an arena stage and, you know, making a lot of noise and playing like mad rock and roll. And the orchestra world is very different. It's very different. It's night and day, really. And I'm somewhere in between, you know. I'm not a conventional kind of a composer, so I always wanted to bring my guitar playing or my musical ear on the guitar into an orchestra. So at face value, it looks kind of like, how do you do that if you're a rock musician and then you're composing? But it just was natural, very natural to me. I always heard orchestra music in my head. I always heard compositional things. So I just did it. You just do it.
Have you encountered any suspicions when you enter the classical realm?
What do you mean, suspicions?
You know, are the musicians, you know, kind of not aware that what you are bringing, like you are coming from another culture.
Yeah, quite often, every time actually, because they're not used to it. It's not normal to, first the music, it's not like the great masters from the past or anything like that, and it's not so contemporary that you can't listen to it. You know, it's it's musical. My number one for me is melody. You know, melody is king. And whenever I would go into a situation, most of the time, there's not great expectations from the conductor or the orchestra that I really have a handle on what I'm doing, you know. But they've all been pretty respectful. And after a while, when I start correcting certain mistakes, they say, okay, he knows what he wrote, you know. And I do. I know every note. Mm. Yeah. So it's always a little bit of a period of warming up, and then it's a love fest.
At a very young age, like when you were 18, you did transcriptions of Frank Zappa's music, some of his most complex compositions, right? Were you already then thinking of creating something for the symphony orchestra?
Well, I had actually started composing when I was very young. Like, the moment I saw music on paper, it looked so attractive to me. It looked like art. It looked like an interesting alien language. And music came out of it. So, and this was when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And then I remember hitting a piano one day, and I noticed notes go lower and the notes go higher. And I just had an epiphany. You know, I said, oh, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, you know, and then you start imagining what you can do. So I always had these kinds of audio visualizations, even as a young boy. And then when I was eight, like all good Italian boys from Long Island, I started playing the accordion. And that helped me to, I was playing Smoke on the Water, you know. But that helped me to connect the dots and with reading. And I started writing music immediately. But the biggest advantage that I had was when I was in seventh grade, so you're about 12 years old, there was a advanced music theory class in my high school for 12th graders. And I wanted to get in it because the teacher, Bill Westcott, he taught music, you know, the language. And I was too young because I was in seventh grade, but they approached me if they needed a tuba player for the orchestra when I was in seventh grade. So I made a deal. I said, if you let me take that theory class, I'll join the orchestra and play the tuba. So that was great. I started playing tuba, and from seventh grade all the way through 12th grade, every day I took this music theory class, and I learned everything about composition. And then I composed my first piece for my high school orchestra. I think I was 16.
Would you say that the era with Frank Zappa had some special relevance that comes out with this, what you're doing right here in Tampere now? Or was it that way, more like you had that inclination for orchestral pieces, and that's because you entered the Zappa?
Yeah. Well, when I was a teenager and I discovered the guitar, I threw myself into that. You know, as soon as I heard Led Zeppelin when I was 11, you know. So I still knew in the back of my mind I wanted to compose, you know, but I just started playing rock and roll guitar. And then it was very rare to hear any other artist actually integrating various orchestral instruments or a full orchestra into a rock band setting. And then I heard the music of Frank Zappa. I think I was 14 or 15, and I just lit up because he was doing it all. He had crazy guitar playing, comedy, drama, unbelievably beautiful melody, compositional stuff. He could compose for a rock band and also full symphonies. And I said, that's there. Somebody's doing it really well. And I imagined doing it, but when I never really had the opportunities. But then when I heard Frank, it was so nice because somebody was doing it. So I became a big fan and started following his music, and actually contacted him when I was 18 and sent him a tape. And he liked the way I played the guitar, and I sent him some transcriptions. And he wanted to try me out for the band, but I was too young. So he hired me to transcribe. So I did that for a few years, and then I moved to California when I was 20 and joined his band. So Frank was an explosion of freedom. You know, he just did whatever his creative intentions demanded. He marched to the beat of his own drum, and he never made excuses, and he never expected somebody to do it for him. He just did it. So I was very young and very influential, and I watched very carefully. And I learned most of all from Frank that if you want to do something, you just do it. You just do it. You just start. And the funny thing is, when you start something that feels seemingly impossible, the moment you start, it doesn't feel so impossible anymore.
How difficult it is to compose for full orchestra compared to composing for, say, a rock band?
Well, a rock band, it's much easier in a sense. it's easier in some ways, you know, because you write a song, you get together with the band, you can tell them what to play, or you collaborate. I've collaborated with all sorts of bands. But with a rock band, there's a lot of people involved in the process. If I'm going to do a guitar solo on a David Lee Roth or Whitesnake record back in the day, there was a large committee of people involved in a sense. You know, there's the lead singer, you know, there's the band, there's the A&R guy, there's the producer, the engineer that's involved, the record company. There's many people involved. When I compose, it's a committee of one, me. It's unbelievably liberating. It's your world. It's your private inner world manifesting onto paper and into music as very different.
How would you say the performance differs, between rock and classical concert? Do you get like more anxious before the show or more fulfilled after in one or other?
Well, the level of excitement and fulfillment is very similar. The performance is very different. You know, I've been on tour since May 22 with my rock band. We've already played well over maybe 150 shows. And I'll be on tour until Christmas of 24. And I got a lot of shows coming up. And when we're performing a rock show, it's loud and it's visceral and it's intense and I'm moving around and the band is slamming, you know, they're just slamming, sometimes very delicate. But with an orchestra, it's very different. You know, it's first you have to get the blend, because an electric guitar is an electric instrument that has distortion and gain, and it fills a certain frequency spectrum. And an orchestra fills a particular frequency spectrum. It's acoustic, it's organic, it's natural. An electric guitar is like, you know, somebody coming in with a knife and going, So you have to find a nice blend. And you may occasionally hear rock bands implement orchestras into their music. And basically, what they may do is get an orchestrator to take their music and write some stuff for it, and you know, they're not listening to the orchestra because it just distracts them, you know. But I've always tried to integrate the guitar parts with the orchestra so that it's enjoyable and natural.
Progressive rock, heavy metal, those are both genres that are associated with virtuosity, like classical music is often mm-hmm. too. Well, you've done them all. So what do you think? What are the similarities in these genres?
Well, the main similarity is the human spirit that wants to express greatness. You know, we're always trying to up our game as humans. You know, records are constantly being broken. And businesses are constantly evolving. Technology is evolving constantly. So the way an artist performs is evolving. And humans thrive on the feeling of accomplishment. And there's just a group that just loves owning the instrument. You know, there's a great freedom in virtuosity. And that's the same in rock music or classical music, I think.
So one last thing to your fans who aren't so much into orchestral music yet, but are your fans and have followed your previous work and work in the field of rock music more, what would you say what this concert and the upcoming orchestral releases have to offer?
Well, like any artist, I have fans that are attracted to what I do for different reasons. Some of them like just the guitar. They just want me to play guitar. They don't want me to sing. They don't want me to compose. They just want the guitar. Some people like the way I sing. I sing on some stuff. You know, some people like the compositional music. I'd say the vast majority likes the guitar. But I'd say those fans that are attracted to any artist what they may be attracted to that is the most powerful thing that has the real pull is the DNA of the music. There's a voice. It's in the melodies. It's in the phrasing. And not just me, but any artist, you know. And I think that's what you'll find in all of my rock music and all of my orchestra music, my musical DNA. So what I might say to those fans that might not be so interested in the orchestra music, that's fine. But if you're attracted to the quirky DNA, the beautiful, sometimes very intense, sometimes chaotic things that I do, you'll find it in the orchestra music too.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.